All right, everybody, welcome to the Clean Ed Show. We've got a little special treat here. You're going to listen to a new ongoing segment, a new saga, we'll call it, which is Ed and Eric discuss comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take a listen to the Clean Ed, the Ed and Clee Show segment that we all love. Here to discuss what they love. Comic books. Eric Marino and Ed Greer. This is Eric and Ed on comics.
We were going to talk about how you are a big DC guy.
Who would win in a fight, Ed?
And I am a big Marvel guy.
Who would win in a fight, Marvel or DC? Who would win in a fight, Greer or Marino? That's right. We're going to talk about why we like our respective comic book companies. Because it's like being a Coke person, a Pepsi person, a Burger King person, a McDonald's person. People choose sides. You choose sides in a war between Marvel and DC. You're like a Fantastic Four guy, or you're like a Teen Titans guy. You know what I mean? There are people that, you know, like, hey, during heart, you know, people who read the Teen Titans, read the X-Men, there are, you know, there are traitors to the cause.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's the thing, though. That it does seem like, it's almost like, yeah, if you like a DC comic, you're a race traitor amongst Marvel heads and
vice versa. It's a big thing. But there's also a thing like, you know, you're sort of allowed a couple other titles in your, you know, if you have a weekly pull list at your comic book store.
A DC head's not going to be mad at you for pulling Daredevil. Because you're going to be like, ah,
that's what you're going to get away. You're a DC head like myself gets away with all the X-Men titles, mm-hmm. and any time that Frank Miller touched Daredevil,
right.
that's when you were in.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now you'd say, like, I guess Bendis or, you know, like, I've read, you know, it's like Civil War, the things where, okay, you guys are, you know, it's like that's stuff I'm interested in to see how you guys executed it.
Well, but this is the thing. This is the crux of it, though. Why are you into DC? Because to me, DC is almost a conservative company. It seems like they're the conservatives. If there was going to be conservatives and liberals, I think Marvel is a fascist in waiting, yes. But it looks really liberal.
You know, it's funny. It's because I think in some ways it's like I look for superheroes to be big and powerful or I'll put it this way. I want my big and powerful superheroes to be super archetypes like Superman.
Right.
And I want my gritty guys to be... I got Superman, I got Batman. I got the right. world's finest. This is how these guys set up what comic books is. And there's a certain point where I appreciate what Marvel, I appreciate what Fantastic Four, what Peter Parker of the 60s did to the art form or did to the movement of comics.
Right.
But there's a part where by the time I came in, I'm coming in the late 70s, early 80s, and to me, like, the JLA, the Justice League of America, is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's got the Super Friends in it, plus some other cool guys that I don't know. And, like, because Green Lantern isn't in the Super Friends, and so it's even cooler than the Super Friends.
Right.
Whereas, it's like, you know, you got the Spider-Man and Friends, which involve Iceman and Firestar, who doesn't exist, right? The Fantastic Four have a cartoon where they didn't even have the Human Torch in it for once. They just had, like, a robot. They had, like, the Thing. They had the Thing, you know. And so their comic, the cartoons were a little lame. But there's a certain point where, yeah, it's like Fantastic Four is, like, a great idea to me that I think that it's, like, it doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't resonate at all.
I've written extensively in internet comments that nobody's going to read about how Fantastic Four definitely doesn't work, and it's a flawed concept from the get-go. Mr. Fantastic has the wrong powers.
You know what?
It's a lot of shit. A lot of shit is nuclear family style shit is out of date right now as far as a superhero thing. The X-Men model is so much better. Bunch of cast-offs and
here's
blah,
what
blah,
I'm
blah.
Saying. It's like I didn't really think the Fantastic Four was cool. Or could be done cool until I read Planetary, and they're the villains.
Right, right, right.
And then you're like, oh, like, then you get it, and it's like, because it's always been, yeah, I mean, it's like, I guess I like that Reed Richards occupied the, I'm the brain of the Marvel Universe, but it was only recently somebody explained it to me, it was like, Fantastic Four wasn't about the super team. It wasn't about the heroes, the four themselves. It was about the world of big ideas. It's about Galactus. Maybe you said this to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, it's about what's it called? The Immortals and the Eternals and the, you know, whatever crazy Jack Kirby thing could draw.
Right.
You know what I mean? But to me, I didn't get that. My mind wasn't blown by that.
That was Eric and Ed on comics. Now back to Clee and Ed, the Ed and Clee Show, with your hosts Clee and Ed.
All right, guys, and now it's the beginning of the real episode. We are watching Scrooged. We're recording already. Everybody go ahead and introduce yourselves. I'm Adam Driggers.
I'm Clee Wiggins.
I'm Ed Greer.
I'm Eric Marino.
Oh, we're eating McChicken sandwiches.
Yes.
We're loving it.
Today's episode, not quite sponsored by McDonald's.
It's a hot-ass summer day, and we're watching the Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Christmas will be over in 4 months, everybody. Officially over in 4 months.
Oh, is it?
We would love it.
So, the drinking game for this movie is anytime we mention Bobcat Goldthwait.
From Syracuse, New York, Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, and he plays, which ghost is he in this?
He's not a ghost.
He's like the assistant of he's one of the network guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't he become a ghost at a certain point?
No.
Maybe? Okay.
He doesn't.
This movie is directed by Richard Donner.
Yeah.
Richard Donner.
The awesome. Terrific Richard Donner.
I think this is the second Richard Donner movie we did. We did Superman.
Yeah.
I love Richard Donner.
Yeah. We'll have to do Goonies at some point.
Yes.
That's definitely my favorite Richard Donner movie.
And Every Lethal Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is, of course, one of the many, many versions of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
What?
And
this wholly original thing you're trying to see, everything's not a reboot, man.
Our reboots aren't new.
But
that's what I think.
Probably my favorite version, if not the Muppets version, then this version.
I like the Disney version with Scrooge McDuck.
Was that Michael Keaton?
He was born to play that.
Yeah, he was born.
Scrooge McDuck, yes, of course.
He was born to play.
I never got into.
I love the opening of this movie, too.
I love that one, too.
I never got into
this Lee Majors opening is so fucking hilarious.
I squinted one eye because of the Bionic Man. I love Lee Majors.
He's got a
He's doing it here. He's doing the squint.
Do you guys remember the mid-90s they did that TV movie where they brought them back, Bionic Woman and him, and they were old and married? And
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was great.
I still masturbate to that.
Did you know originally the Bionic Woman was, as a spinoff of the $6 Million Man, but she died and then they brought her back?
Now,
which is ridiculous.
Because we have the technology.
Yeah.
We can revive her.
She was just so interesting.
Speaking of that saying, today I saw on, probably on Facebook or something like that, where somebody just got a bionic penis, an 8-inch bionic penis.
Of course.
What is bionic about it?
It's like a reconstructed penis.
What does the word bionic mean exactly?
I think it just is sort of like, it's same thing like a, cybernetic or whatever, part flesh, part robotic.
We could easily look it up, but I refuse to.
Before people said cyborg, everyone was saying bionic.
Exactly.
It was like how everything was atomic, and then it was nuclear.
Yeah.
Now,
you know how Anchor Babies is the new welfare queen in Republican politics?
Anchor Babies?
Anchor Babies.
Because babies that keep you in America. Okay.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, because that's how people operate.
Republicans. Right. So, Danny Elfman did the score to this film. One of the many, many films Danny Elfman has done an amazing score for.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Beetlejuice is my favorite Danny Elfman
score. Our next episode will also feature a Danny Elfman score. I think we're going to do Batman in our next episode.
Oh, yeah.
Na, 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 na.
That
dance.
Well, that's Prince.
Yeah, we're gonna do that.
Prince does original songs for that movie. And
yeah,
I believe Elfman does the score, right?
Yeah.
That
is correct.
Now, you know what? What I love about this movie is it features cameos by John and Joel Murray, who aren't really in everything. But
Brothers Murray.
Yeah. Did you guys have you seen that golf show they had for a season on Comedy Central where it was him and his three brothers? Every episode they were at a different golf course golfing, and it was a reality show about them golfing together.
That's actually kind of hilarious. I did not know that.
It was kind of funny, and they would do bits they were lighthearted sketches here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was mostly just them playing golf and chit-chatting.
So it's like Wahlburgers. You ever watch this? Well, the Wahlberg brothers and their burger joints that they own?
I've watched the new West Texas Investors Club on CBS.
Oh, Shark Tank redneck style?
Oh, yeah. with Rooster McConaughey?
Matthew McConaughey's brother.
Older brother?
Yeah.
What?
Who is
what
so kind of country?
You telling me that you don't need my help to run your barbecue restaurant? I'm going to give you 33%.
I'll say this. Barbecue sauce was completely in the very first.
Yeah.
And they were just like, and it was some Philly guy that came down with a leather hat, and he was all like, he was all Guido Philly, you know what I mean, Goomba style.
The Guido cowboy.
Yeah, yeah, and he was like, yeah, you know, the name of my sauce is the best sauce you'll ever taste. And he was like, well, that's a bold statement, you know what I mean? Like
New York City.
These two guys just sit there and drink beer and listen to pitches. It is the laid-back, countrified Shark Tank.
Oh, man.
Beer koozies.
Dude, beer. Rooster McConaughey, I've seen him on something else that Matthew McConaughey was on TV, and he's hilarious. He's super country. I thought Matthew McConaughey was like...
I didn't even know he had a brother named Rooster. That is amazing.
You know who else has a brother named Rooster? Is David Sedaris.
Oh,
now that's great. Rooster Sedaris. There's Amy, David, and Rooster.
Yeah.
There's a pattern there with that naming.
I think it's a Southern thing. I mean... Because he's the only one of them that was actually born in the South, and he's the only one of them that has a Southern accent. The rest of them were all born in New York City, and then they moved to North Carolina at some point, and then he was born in North Carolina, and he...
Well, way North to make Carolina. Him never forget it.
Yeah. You're well, I mean, they didn't name him Rooster. That's just what everybody calls him.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better. Now, we come to a segment called Name Your Top Five. And for this one, it's going to be our Top Five Bill Murray Roles. I'll go first. I'll give everyone time. So for me, no particular order, except for I will say my favorite Bill Murray role is Groundhog's Day.
That's a good one.
Fuck yeah, that's a great one.
Love it.
Yeah.
So good.
Probably
number two is The Man Who Knew Too Little. I really
love
it.
That's an underrated one.
Strong choice.
Really underrated. Yeah. Then on the list, no particular order, Scrooged, Rushmore, and Caddyshack. Now, it was really hard. I mean, there's so many good Bill Murray roles. I looked over all of them, and I'm just like, oh, I could put any on here.
Yeah.
So it was really hard for me to settle on the five that I liked the most, but I think it's those five.
All right.
You're wrong. You are wrong.
I'm going to go. This is in really no particular order, although I think this first one is my favorite. I think only because it was like at the first time I think I was truly exposed to Bill Murray, and that's Ghostbusters. And then in no particular order, I'm going to go Zombieland, Ed Wood, Groundhog Day, and Scrooged. And then I'm going to give honorable mention to Kingpin.
Zombieland's like one of the all-time great little roles.
That's like one of the best cameos of any movie ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
But, yeah. But Ed Wood.
Oh, there's Bobcat Goldthwait.
There he is.
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Drink. Drink up.
Oh man, he looks amazing in this. You know, speaking of
Bobcat, he looks like all clean cut. And
I don't know if you guys have seen him. Speaking of Joel Murray and Bob, they did a movie together recently.
Called I'm sorry, who are we talking about? Who? Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah.
Oh.
And him and Joel, he did a movie starring Joel Murray.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh, it's called, with Abigail Breslin, isn't it, too, right?
Yeah, and what is it called?
Red, White, and something.
I don't know, I forget what it's called. And then he did that movie with Robin Williams. He's done a lot of great movies. World's Greatest Dad was the Robin Williams film.
Yeah.
Bobcat see what happened to Robin Williams after
he's
that.
A great director.
Yeah, he's become a great director.
Yeah, he's a really great director.
Yeah, that movie he just did with Joel Murray, where Joel Murray plays a psychotic
God killer. Bless America.
God Bless America.
He's funny as stand-up, too. I was on a Meltdown show with him like maybe a couple years ago. It wasn't that long ago. And he was really funny.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
him. Really funny.
He recently did
When he does straight stand-up, he's actually really funny, like as opposed to the Bobcat Goldthwait.
Well, yeah. And he doesn't really do that anymore. I mean, it's like, you know. He's not fucking Michael Winslow. I mean, no disrespect to people who make great sounds.
The Man of a Thousand Sounds?
Yeah.
Eddie Pepitone.
It's like 72 sounds.
Eddie Pepitone and Bobcat and Dana Gould just did a tour, the three of them, like a year or two ago that I saw.
Oh, wow.
It's a really good lineup.
I would love to have been a fly on that traveling van.
Bobcat also, guys, is he's great in a little cult classic that we all know called Windy City Heat, that he directs the Perry Project. So it's like... Definitely check out Bobcat Goldthwait's Windy City Heat.
He also directs a lot of episodes of Mark Maron's show.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. Is that your full list, Clay?
That was my full list.
Yeah, that's
and
our
Kingpin,
full list.
Yeah, awesome. That was my honorable mention.
I say Kingpin number one. I like smile inside that she picked that because we did not collude. Mm-hmm. And she picked that. That warms my hackles.
You guys are so gay together.
No, for real. Because it's like...
hackles?
Whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not used to appreciative language, motherfucker. I mean, I'm just saying, it's wonderful because...
Hackles aren't usually raised appreciatively.
Yeah. Well, he fucking...
makes Kingpin because he's so evil. Like, you have to buy that he's this dickhead to make Woody Harrelson's journey even a thing you want to watch.
He also has Donald Trump's
hair. It really is an amazing comic performance, too. It's actually maybe his funniest performance. I forgot about
how funny he was. Dude, he kills it at Kingpin.
I should have put it on my list.
Hey, you know what? As far as
it's the hair. The hair is like so amazing.
And I don't
know. That when he's flirting with those girls and he slaps that girl's ass in that video and he's like, slaps her ass. He's just like so confident and cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And fucking, I will say, Ghostbusters for obvious reasons. The only thing I got to say is when you really look at Ghostbusters, just imagine that exact same cast and not Bill Murray. And that movie sucks.
Unless it's Belushi, and then who knows?
Yeah, I'll give you Belushi.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Belushi, and then he died. But when they were writing,
was he supposed to play that role?
I think he's supposed to play that role.
Okay.
You never know. It all changes. I mean, it just changes completely.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been a completely different role.
The fact that it's in the conversation, but like
you wouldn't have had the same. That's right, boys. It's Dr. Venkman.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it would have been a different movie. I think it still would have been a funny movie, but it would have been
right.
A full. It would have been a completely different movie.
But the fact that you have to go that high to even come up with somebody that's even close to fucking that performance is
you have to pull
about.
A man from the grave.
And right. You got to reanimate a motherfucker to fuck with that pick. So that's awesome. And I do give a lot of credit to Zombieland. It's not necessarily on my list, but I much respect because he's basically playing himself.
Mm-hmm.
Groundhog Day. I really got to say that's another movie where it's like. Put some other affable guy in there that can go from jerk to nice guy, and it still sucks if it's not Bill Murray. Put John Cusack in there. That's what they would have done at the time. Put a lot of these other motherfuckers in there. Dustin Hoffman, maybe. Put a lot of different affable guys in there, and movie would not be that good. Yeah. He is the linchpin of that movie. Same thing with Lost in Translation isn't a great movie. It's, a lot of people blew it
overrated.
Up. But he is the thing that makes that watchable. Scarlett Johansson is playing a fucking Siri robot, but in her own body in that movie. And Sofia Coppola knows how to photograph it. But the bottom line is he grounds that in a certain reality that's very engaging to me. Like, he goes over to Japan to do whiskey ads and shit. Like, that world was really intriguing.
The karaoke scenes are great.
Fuck yeah. And I guess the last one would be Rushmore. Rushmore's fucking amazing.
I don't like Rushmore. I think it's
Rushmore's amazing.
It's a return for Bill.
Yeah, that was one of his turning point. That's when he started doing like things like the Aquatic Life of Steve Zissou.
It's when he locked into that less is more acting style he's got.
Yeah.
You know?
No, actually, I put Royal Tenenbaums and fucking Rushmore in the same thing because he doesn't quite make Royal Tenenbaums, but
he's got great scenes
in it, man. Great scenes. And
I love when he tells her he wants to die.
But think about any other actor battling a little kid for a woman's love and still looking like a decent guy. Bill Murray's got to do it. Oh, yeah, dude. Was it Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum. And what's his name is also...
And Scrooge. We're looking at Robert Mitchum on Scrooge, but we didn't go all...
By the way, busted for marijuana off Little Laurel Canyon in a brothel on Happy Lane.
Just this morning.
It's breaking news. Breaking news. All the ships at sea.
So you got anybody to add to the list, Eric?
Yeah, yeah. Because you guys are here's your best. Here's your boom. Top three, unquestionable. Okay. First of all, Ghostbusters, absolutely. But here's the two you forgot: Eclipsed by the Sun, if you will.
Oh,
Meatballs.
Oh yeah,
and Stripes.
I was gonna go.
I mean, it was on the cover of Time magazine for Stripes, and it just doesn't matter. That's the fact, Jack. And Meatballs, it just doesn't matter. Holy God!
I had Meatballs and Stripes in my mind because I wanted to put some early Bill Murray on there, but I actually didn't see those movies until I was like in my late teens, and so. And Ghostbusters was much more seminal, and it was
Stripes were my first boobs in a theater.
Yeah.
Or maybe not my first, because Airplane, I guess, were my first boobs in the theater. But Stripes was like, I was sitting next to my aunt, the nun, and it was like, oh, there's boobs. Oh, my aunt's a nun. Like, oh, like it was like.
You have an aunt who's a nun?
Yes, I do. My godmother.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Mom's a cop, dad's a teacher, aunt the nun. Yeah, I didn't get invited to a cool party until I was 25. Now, here are the other two.
When you move to
LA. Here are my two deep cuts.
All right, let's hear it.
My deep cuts are Razor's Edge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Razor's
That's
Edge
one of his first
is
dramatic
a
roles, right?
Yeah, and it's a beautiful and it's a very philosophical and it got me into the Upanishads and it's a great beautiful movie that everyone should watch. And there's some great Bill Murray stuff in there. It's vastly underrated. In fact, almost everything we talk about with Bill Murray, it's like he's either, the movie is underrated or overrated. Like almost nothing Bill Murray does is properly rated.
Yeah. Right.
The other one, my deep cut I'm going to give you is a little movie called Where the Buffalo Roam.
Which is Hunter S. Thompson.
So if you like,
the other Murray brother on screen right now.
If you like Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and you like Johnny Depp doing Hunter S. Thompson in the
he's
Rum
basically
Diaries,
doing Bill Murray,
and it's very very interesting to see the movie. And there's also there's a great if you read the you know I'll say something else when you watch Bill Murray, he doesn't move his arms. When he walks comedically, and like in Ghostbusters, he'll like run downstairs, but his arms just stay at his side. So he has a very strange comedic movement, you know.
And, he's actually kind of doing it now on this.
Yeah, he has this weird like shoulder slump thing. He just keeps his
moves
arms.
Only this part. Like, he moves his upper shoulders, but his arms never swing.
Which supposedly leads you to burn more calories. I've heard also so.
Another thing about his comic style, he's a big guy, but he gets real shrill like when he's talking. But, okay.
And he's one of those people, like, he doesn't, his voice goes up rather than down when he's...
He also was the best part of the SNL 40th show with the, Jaws, get the hell away from me!
Yeah.
I mean, that song was brilliant.
Now, we come to a segment called A Beloved Film You Hate, where if anybody's got one they want to discuss, a film that is beloved by most that we don't like... This is the time to do it. Anybody got anything?
Besides Star Wars, I don't know.
Are you? You're not digging all the fever that's growing.
Face.
I absolutely.
Are you ready for
news
stories about lines for a week?
Dude, I absolutely don't because it's the same saturation. But the Star Wars fans are going to experience what Marvel fans are going to experience in like 5 years with this whole like, there's five movies out of my characters and blah blah, blah and it sucks. I don't want to go see any of these. You know what I mean? It's gonna get that deep. You're talking about deep cuts when we're watching fucking Raccoon Man versus fucking whatever the fuck part five in a minute, and with Star Wars or whatever. Every asshole character is getting their own movie. They got a Boba Fett movie and a young Han Solo movie and a fucking Wookiee revenge.
The Kessel Run.
Right. They're going to do a movie on the Kessel Run.
Just to interrupt you, ironically on screen right now, Bobcat is drinking. So, drink.
You definitely have to drink.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yep.
Drinking on the drink with the drinking.
So, continue, Ed.
Well, no, I just, that shit sucks. It can't support all of that, man. It's not a real universe like that.
Yes, it is. Okay. Asshole.
No,
I don't know, man. I don't watch the Clone Wars.
I used to consider myself a big fan,
but it turns out like I'm just not the consumer. But then again, I'm also, talk about movie, you know what, guys? I got to tell you, that Guardians of the Galaxy, I was always sort of against it because I'm a big comic guy and I never knew how they were going to make that interesting. Yeah. And then everyone started raving about it. And I see what's likable about it because you made it sort of 80s and the music and the mixtape. I understand why it's likable, but it's not very good. In fact,
it's got a lot of substance to it.
No, and it's like it doesn't bear rewatching. I think it worked in the theaters, but it was like when I watched it on television, man, I fell asleep three times trying to watch it.
Oh boy.
What?
Yeah. Oh man, it kept putting me to sleep, that movie.
Are you serious?
I'm telling you, man. The Infinity Gauntlet is boring. Bazoring. Azuz.
How come we can't have
it's a very cinematic movie, but so I could see, like, if you hadn't seen it in theaters, maybe not being totally, especially if you're a comic book person, but I own that movie now, and I've rewatched it. I mean,
I like it.
I watched it maybe four times since I've bought it on, you know, digital on demand or whatever.
I think what's great about it is the lead, what's his name? Chris Pratt's performance is so likable that makes it a little rewatchable. But I don't really crave rewatching.
I think everybody in that movie is great, gives great performances, with maybe the exception of Zoe Saldana, who's serviceable.
Boring.
But not great.
You know what? She wasn't really written.
She's colored.
But it wasn't that great. It was
she's
that
green.
Role. Yeah, what role was very sort of.
They're like, she's hot and she's colored and
she's a little too stoic to be interesting.
Yeah,
you know
she's
I mean?
A bitch. It's kind of cliche, like, oh, she's a bitch, but he's trying to make her laugh. It's such a cliche
relationship.
I would say
that she's more stoic rather than bitchy. I didn't find her character bitchy, but I found her a little too, like, just hardened and stoic and grizzled to be interesting, or because she was just too like, I am about to, I just want revenge on this man who killed my family, who claims he's my father, but he's not. I did come up with a movie, though, that that a lot of people love that I don't like. It's not that I dislike it, but I just, it's not that great of a movie. Like, and it took me rewatching it a few times to be like, nah, I'm not into this. Or I'm like, eh, it's Cape Fear.
Oh, yeah, ooh. I can see that.
Since we were watching Robert Mitchum, it made me think of it.
That's funny. I love the remake or the original?
The remake. He's in both. Yeah, he's in both. Actually, I don't like either.
The remake. The original is overrated.
The original is a little boring, and I love like slow-moving old-school thrillers like that. And then the remake is too campy.
My thing is Robert Mitchum is too likable to be as creepy as, say, Robert De Niro is in the second version.
Well, no, because Robert Mitchum at that time was, yeah, he's likable now. He's likable as an old man, but at that time,
About his performance when I watch it, but that's out of context for me because I wasn't.
Like, at that time, he played a lot of, like, sinister types like he did played in that movie. Like, he was not playing against type in the original Cape Fear.
Yeah.
But in the remake, I found the remake too campy. Like, Robert De Niro's accent was way over the top. Fucking Jessica Lange was like so smoldering so much. I thought she was gonna set the whole goddamn set on fire.
She's Juliette not Lewis, sexual to me.
Jessica Lange, she's super sexual. Not, oh my god.
Juliette Lewis though.
I thought like Jessica Lange is one giant vagina in that movie, and Juliette Lewis, like I mean, Juliette Lewis is probably the only thing about the movie I kind of liked, and I still found her character too naive. Like even for like.
Here's what I love about that movie. Counselor, the way he says counselor.
Yeah, see, I found his whole accent, especially like, I found his accent to be just so over the
top. You and me, counselor.
His, I think it's a movie that was Mafia big then Southern. And is very forgettable now.
I love it. I used to own it on DVD. Or like, I did.
Remember Michael Douglas and Sean Penn, The Game?
Yeah.
Like, that was big.
Ed loves that movie.
Yeah.
That movie's fucking good. That's what we need to have, embattled movies that bitch-ass motherfuckers don't like that are excellent. Like, no, The Game.
The Game is
fucking good. As much rich people watching as you do every day, babe, with these fucking bitch-ass shows where they're flipping houses and shit. Fucking
yeah, his life.
The Game was amazing. It was the only way you can make a rich person, like, only a rich person would put up with that shit. Only a rich person is bored enough to go through that process. If you did that to a poor person, they just call the cops real quick. Fucking, it's everything about that movie is really set up really well, dude. And I own the screenplay to that movie.
Wow.
Yeah, I own. The
I don't like
that.
I mean, that's dumb.
So you mean you
own a bound version, like a hard copy or a paperback version?
Yep.
John Forsythe's on screen, who was not only Blake Carrington on Dynasty, but also the voice of Charlie for Charlie's Angels.
And in this Blake performance, he is a zombie.
Yeah.
Or a ghost, but he looks like a zombie.
But he looks like a zombie.
Amazing special makeup effects in this movie.
You guys were talking about some movie that I thought was overrated, and now I don't know what it is anymore.
Was it the game? You got angry and you forgot about it.
No, because this is the fucking Game.
Here's
man.
A pretty
the game
decent
is
special
good.
Effects that somewhat hold up.
Yeah. The whole movie's got a bunch of great effects. Now,
this does right here. This is
a good one.
Yeah.
We're going to take another break now, and we're going to listen to a segment from Eric's live show at the Comedy Store every Sunday, Clea and Ed segment during that show. Exactly.
Follow it on Periscope.
You guys all know about it, so Hearts. Just go ahead and take Hearts. A listen to one of those now.
Well, that was my posse's on Broadway, but it didn't allow. Oh, shit! Didn't allow for the fucking beat to kick in, Kenny.
No.
I just wanted to call attention to the fact that rhyme scheme was the most brilliant thing ever. You can say anything. Doing some shit, and I'm doing nothing. You know what I mean? That shit is great. You can say anything.
It's fascinating.
I just wanted to play a fucking song. God damn. Yeah. I'm already judging my artistic choices. That's fine. All right, let's go.
I always judge
them. Yeah, I know.
You judge mine too. You do nothing but fucking. I listen to a lot of E40 and all you do is mock it.
I don't mock E40. I just
and all my Jacksons.
When you rap like E40, it sounds like you're mocking E40. I mean, it just is what it is. I ain't no dickhead.
E40 is one of the most underrated rappers ever.
He's appropriately rated. Yeah, he totally is. People respect him. He's like, I know the legends of how he slang from his trunk. The slang from your trunk legends are a lot of them in the hood. There's a lot of slang from the
That's
trunk legends.
Even it.
No, it's great. He
fucking, that's it.
Him and Matt Dre and shit. Man, I get it. Goddamn. She don't even respect the Wu-Tang, so what the fuck kind of
stuff? Yes, I do. That's a lie. That is a fucking lie. That is like
okay,
such a...
Okay, who's your favorite one? And don't say Method Man. Go.
Why, if he's my favorite, why wouldn't I say it? Then that's fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. Don't say Method Man, yes. Don't say the most successful.
What's your secondary one?
ODB, probably.
How?
Big Baby Jesus or whatever he's calling himself.
Okay, you get credit for Big Baby Jesus. She gets credit for saying Big Baby
whatever
Jesus.
Whatever it was he called himself when that crack rock balloon blew up in his butt or whatever the fuck was happening.
Like it raw. Yeah. We don't practice safe sex. We like it raw.
Yeah. No, we don't practice safe sex.
I don't know, it's hard.
Bro, no.
It's hard to go back. You know what I'm saying? You ever had, like, we ever got out of a relationship and had to go back? It's like, what the fuck is this? Training wheel shit. It's disgusting.
Condoms are the training wheels of diseases. I don't know.
That
kind of sucks. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah. But that weirds me out, though, because you let me go raw a little too soon, babe.
Yes, I forced you to go raw, though.
Well, you know, we're monsters.
I just was like, I'm okay with that.
No, but you know, it pisses me off.
Don't act like I made you.
No, it pisses me off because you thought I was such a nerd that it was okay to go raw that quick.
That's your deduction of what the reasoning was. You never asked me why I thought it was okay for you to go raw.
What could I have said to convince you to go raw? How eloquent was I?
Very eloquent. The sense you just said right there, motherfucker, lets me know. Probably fine. It's probably fine.
Multi-syllabic words, get you raw. Learn it, baby. Dictionaries and thesaurus is for everybody.
I can read.
And kids.
I can read underneath them.
Yeah. Okay, did anybody have any questions for this week?
I got a question.
Oh, shit.
Somebody has a question prepared.
What's the more subject of contention? Comic books related things or music related things?
Music.
Music, yeah.
Okay.
She likes all the lesser Jacksons. Like if Tito Jackson came out with a solo saxophone album,
I like
this
all the Jacksons. I like all the Jacksons, not equally, but I like all of the Jacksons, like the entire families, you know, over, as they say.
Rank them? Yeah.
There's a lot of Jacksons.
Name all Jacksons.
The ones I listen to the most, he says by lesser Jackson, that's also like lesser known Jackson and Jackson 5 hits. So like, you know, from like the Victory album and...
Can you feel it?
I also like Centipede, which is by Rebe Jackson.
Oh, Centipede. This is an actual lyric. When the centipede is hot,
it's
something about on fire. They say it like 100 times.
Bonus question.
It's the wackest shit in the world.
What?
Bonus question that, what's a bigger subject of contention, music or sex?
Music.
Next question. Go ahead.
How long before you let him go wrong?
How long? Weeks? A matter of weeks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Matter of weeks. Where's fucking Earl? All right, go.
Yeah, we have a question.
Are y'all having problems? Y'all came up to the stage from different ends of the room.
No.
Check it out. It's like when velociraptors swarm.
Next
question.
We had a question over here?
I just pointed over there. I was hopeful. A hopeful point. Manifest destiny.
Stop apologizing, my friend.
Dude, if you get an apology sponsorship, you're gonna be rich, nigga.
I love you guys.
I love you too, buddy. In closing, let's talk about the NFL. The Chiefs are gonna be better than the 49ers for the first time in a long time. And I'm very, very happy about that.
Maybe.
All of your whole team retired. You guys are like the fucking NFL version of Major League.
And the Eagles are going to
run
shit.
Your highlight is a rugby player, and you're letting a rugby player play. Right? You're doing rugby in San Francisco.
My hopes for the 49ers aren't very high this year, I have to say. But I'm on two different fantasy leagues this year, including the Comedy Store's fantasy league. I'm fucking excited to kick some ass at that.
Woo! I look forward to second guessing all her picks, even though I'm too scared to participate. Thank you guys very much.
All right, guys.
Oh my God, that was great. How do you come up with that stuff?
We're just really honest.
What are those, your actual thoughts and feelings?
Yeah, no, that's the anomaly. Like, it's not that we're black, it's not that we're nerds, it's honest.
I got a new segment here. We're going to have an ongoing segment, checking back in with Clea and Ed's sex life. So what's the status, guys?
Well, it's a shining right now.
Yes, I'm riding a crimson wave.
Thanks. Oh, it's the shining. All right.
Yeah.
But have you had sex since we last discussed it on the podcast, where you had been going through a dry spell?
No, not really. I mean, we did some slap and tickle. You know what I mean?
Dry, you got British sex? You had British sex?
Yeah, slap and tickle.
Ah, governor, we have the old slap and tickle.
There's some oral, and then I think we got tired.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, man. I think I just need to, like, get big enough to go get some strange and come back reinvigorated.
Oh, I really don't say that.
I really think
she does to get you all jealous.
No, that too, probably. I just
no.
It's a great idea until your relationship breaks up and you're raving on week 51 of the breakup. It's a great idea.
You're going to make me into Marino, babe. Don't do it.
I would never do that, because if I did that, he would lose his mind. If he did that, I would be pissed, but I would probably take him back, and I doubt he would take me back if I cheated and he knew about it.
Oh, boy.
That's interesting.
Clee. Well,
you know what? No, because she is more mature. And straight up, like, she understands it, like, you know what I mean?
He's like, you know what? I support that decision.
Like, I told him, like, if he ever, like, became of, like, a seriously touring comic where he was on the road a lot and not just, like, here and, like, maybe once a month or so that he is now, that I would understand.
Oh, boy.
But if it was, like, every weekend that he was gone, then I could get, like, maybe, like, if, you know, a few months into it, if he did that, I would get it. I would want to know, though. But I would understand if I ever found out about it.
I say the sad thing is I don't have any friends that aren't comics. So if I cheat, one of my comic friends would see, and then they would tell her, and then it would be whack.
I don't think anybody. I think if it was a male comic, they wouldn't tell me unless they really, really wanted to fuck me. And there's not that many of those anymore.
Oh.
I know the maybe three or four that do that would probably tell me, and he would never allow those people to find out. Probably the only one who would ever know would be Rich Slayton, and Rich Slayton would never tell me.
It's like that episode of Friends. They're like, you gotta find the trail. The trail. Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
4 years.
Oh, yeah.
And what month is your anniversary?
This month. What month? This is August.
Yeah, it's August.
Technically, September 6th is our first date, though.
Did you do anything? Are you doing anything for your anniversary? Or?
No.
What is this, the fucking tinfoil anniversary?
Hey, how about you have sex on your anniversary? Yeah. How about you do that? Yeah. Why don't you work up to it, all right?
At least butt stuff.
No,
he would never do butt stuff. I told him I'm open to butt stuff, and he's like, "That's never happening."
No butt stuff.
I never have to worry about butt stuff.
Dude, I don't need my dick looking like Almond Roca.
I told him,
that's
what I said. I'm like, I need a 5-day warning for butt stuff. And he's like, nah.
No.
He has absolutely no interest in butt stuff.
Butt sex requires a level of
trust.
And
I'm not a butt stuff person.
Trust.
That I don't have.
Wow.
I'm not a butt stuff person, but I've told him that I'm open
to butt stuff.
But I told him, like, I'm not into butt stuff, but I told him, I'm like, but if you want to do that, I'm not opposed to it.
Dude, my good
and
buddy.
And he's just like, never.
Nah, my
like,
good
it'll
buddy
never
told
happen.
Me that butt sex is like, you put your wiener in the butt, and then that ring is very tight, but then once you get inside, it's just like a fucking Oscar the Grouch's fucking can in there.
There's pieces of garbage in there. There's
stuff.
Syringes and
no, it's just giant,
old
just
newspaper
giant.
And fish
it's
just bones.
It's
not like the TARDIS in there. It doesn't get bigger on the inside. Welcome to the grand ballroom of Klee's ass. Here in the larger colon, we have weddings and bar mitzvahs.
The bag of holding.
please notice the high vaulted ceilings in the lower colon.
There's crown moldings in this ass.
Oh, yeah. Those aren't crown moldings.
Look at this chair rail and this wainscoting.
We've reached the point in the movie where Bill Murray's ex-girlfriend enters the story.
Yeah, Miss Karen Allen.
I love her.
Yeah.
Yes. Love her in Animal House, love her in Raiders.
Yeah.
One of the greatest drinking scenes of all time. By the way, Bobcat Goldthwait, everyone.
I love her in Starman.
Yeah, Starman. That's a movie I need to buy.
Motherfucking Starman. What's that Woody Allen
motherfucker's hair. Okay, can we stop for a second? This choreographer, this black choreographer's hair is the most epic thing I've ever seen. And it, like, and this movie also has an appearance by the black chick from News Radio.
Oh, and look
Candy
who it is.
Candy Alexander and Mimi from Drew Carey Show. But there's Candy Alexander right
Candy
there.
Candy Alexander's great.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is one of her first roles, and you can see her nipples. So, Bobcat Goldthwait.
You can barely see her nipples.
This guy is in a bunch of Richard Donner movies.
Don't just say this
guy.
That Carpenter guy in the plaid shirt.
It's a Walter Winchell on TV. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I gotta say, it's not a great Karen Allen look right now. She's looking a little Margot Kidder, and that's not a compliment.
Yeah. Oh, come
on. Well, Karen Allen and Margot Kidder are similar types.
You know who I confuse with Karen Allen a lot? Is it Jessica Harper, the one that's in Shock Treatment and Suspiria? And
I don't think I've seen either one of them.
I don't know what Suspiria is. I know what Disturbia is.
Oh, yeah. Disturbia.
Shock Treatment was the sequel.
Is that the Shia LaBeouf remake?
Suspiria is an Italian horror film that had an American cast, and it's really popular. And the other movie, Shock Treatment, is the sequel to Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, Jessica Harper.
Oh, right.
She was also in Stardust Memories.
Oh, yeah, she does look like Karen Allen.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, yeah.
She's got a similar look.
Now,
I think she's older.
We come to a segment called What's a Better Blank? Where we compare things. This one is who's a better actor, Bill Murray or Dan Aykroyd?
Bill Murray.
You think so, hands down?
I don't know. I think that's just a clean sweep because of the range that Bill Murray has.
Bill Murray has better range than Dan Aykroyd. And although Dan Aykroyd is pretty good at both drama and comedy Murray, I think Bill Murray's overall better.
Oscar nominated actor.
So is Dan Aykroyd, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Dan Aykroyd.
For My Girl?
So is Bill Murray.
For Driving Miss Daisy.
He actually was nominated for Dragnet as well. He was nominated for Dragnet as well.
Shut up,
for Dragnet?
Get the fuck out of here.
I believe
it
was.
Get the fuck out of here. You are lying.
You should be lying. If you're not lying, you should.
No fucking
way. If that's not wrong, it
should not be true.
You are wrong.
I believe it's true. We're quickly Googling it.
You're saying that Dragnet is an Oscar nominated film?
Although I love Dragnet.
This is the one supporting actor
and similar news, Tom Hanks won an Emmy for Bosom Buddies. Get the fuck out of here.
No, Bosom Buddies was great.
They didn't win an Emmy
say
for
this,
it.
But I'll say this. Peter Scolari held up Tom Hanks. No.
that motherfucker held up only for
Driving Miss Daisy, not for Dragnet. Okay. It might have been a Golden Globe or something.
Dragnet.
But not no
crazy
Oscar.
Crazy talk.
Not no Oscar.
That movie Dragnet ends with a crazy cut. It's almost as bad as that, as a Temple of Doom. There's like a Temple of Doom kind of moment with a cult in that.
Oh, the big snake that Tom Hanks has to fight.
Yeah, man.
That's fucking
awful.
It's
weird.
And Alexandra Paul in, like, I think her only like theatrical film role.
And it's also one of those like Dragnet. Dan Aykroyd in Dragnet is, you can tell, like, it's like only Dan Aykroyd likes his performance as Joe Friday, and he likes it a little bit too much, if that makes sense. Like, sometimes a guy is doing a role.
He did a rap song. They do a rap song together at the end.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you know what Dan Aykroyd did in that movie? He was so slavishly devoted to how old Joe Friday talked, and his conception of how old Joe Friday talked. It was like how Christian Bale fucked up these Batman movies for me. You're just key in on this performance that you just, I'm not going to change this shit.
And
I'm not going to take any notes.
Especially because the partner of the original Joe Friday is in the movie, Harry Morgan is in that movie. And so then you're just looking like, that's not, but then it reminds you, like, if you've ever seen the TV show, like, every time you see Harry Morgan on screen, you're like, that's not how that
works. Hold on. This is one thing I really motherfucking hate about, like, reboots of shit. I'm probably going to space out on examples, but, like, when there's a beloved character, and they go, oh, beloved character, now this motherfucker's dead. His son, his nephew, his uncle.
You do it all the time.
Oh, fuck, I hate that shit.
Yeah.
It throw away all the stories you invested in. Like, Columbo's squinty-eyed son is going to come up now.
Yeah,
like,
Godfather,
stop it.
Godfather 3, they do, Tom Hagen's dead because we couldn't get Robert Duvall to do this piece of shit.
Yeah.
Right.
But here's his son, the priest.
Right.
Like, you give a shit about who he is.
You don't care at all.
It's the Rodimus Prime effect. You know what I mean? It's like, they just fucking kill somebody.
What effect?
Rodimus Prime. And the original Transformers movie, they kill Optimus Prime, make you care about Rodimus Prime for like
2 years, and then they brought Optimus Prime back. It's like, thank God, Rodimus Prime sucked dick.
Rodimus Prime.
Fuck you, Rodimus Prime.
He was played by fucking Judd Nelson.
Judd
Nelson was the leader of the fucking Transformers for like 3 years when I was a kid. That shit was horrible. Yeah.
Fuck Brett, you, Judd Nelson. Transformers, what is he?
Judd Nelson asked me on a date once.
Leader of the Transformers.
Judd Nelson asked you on a date once?
Orson Welles, yeah. God damn it.
But
were you actually looking at his nostrils at the time?
Of course she was. She was looking at his face.
You can't miss his nostrils.
Yeah. Why? Because they were full of cocaine.
So,
he's got,
I'm
going to
agree
nostrils.
On Bill Murray.
He does have big
we
nostrils.
All agreed on Bill Murray being the better actor of
yeah.
the two.
That's not
Hey, by
fair.
The way, I'd like to give an... We were giving honorable mentions. Here's one. Quick change.
Oh.
Quick change.
Oh, man. That is a great honorable mention because...
Thank
like,
you.
That heist is good.
I run this Bill Murray section.
Dude, why don't we just throw What About Bob and that bitch?
Quick change is empirically superior to fucking What About Bob.
Yeah, guys, Garfield.
That weird, crazy... that weird, crazy jousting
straight
scene.
Straight for the fucking check.
Like, there's some weird inner city jousting on bicycles and like, that's just bad luck seeing something like that.
Dude.
Now,
Randy Quaid, he makes Randy Quaid look good. That's how good Bill Murray is.
Dude, right?
I love Randy Quaid.
Oh, yeah, poor crazy Randy Quaid.
Midnight Express.
Kingpin. He was good in Kingpin.
He's so good in Midnight Express. But yes, Kingpin as well.
Poor crazy Randy Quaid.
Now we come to a segment called Eric's Questions, where Eric, in place of, much like the audience does at the live show, will ask Clea and Ed questions that we want to have them answer.
Clea and Ed.
Yes.
You have to have a same-sex sexual encounter with a superhero. Which superhero do you have same-sex sex with?
Oh, Wonder Woman, of course. Jesus.
Why?
So easy.
Yeah.
Well, I really thought you were going to go She-Hulk. I thought you were going to go She-Hulk
Not
for sure.
Not too much woman.
Wow.
And like, if I'm going to go like with a woman, I'd rather it be like a, like if I was ever to go gay, I'd want it to be with like a fucking woman, not a woman who
whose woman's going to lasso
tie you. Like a woman who looks like a fucking dude. So like maybe lasso Storm lunch. Or Wonder Woman.
Breaking Storm. Up with Storm. You know what? Breaking Storm. Up with Storm would be a bitch. I mean, it's like she would be... That would just be like, it is cloudy weather for a month. Hurricane Marino, man, if I was Storm.
Can I commission a drawing of Storm and Clea decking out?
Yes, no. As soon as you can afford it, I will draw it.
Actually, I apologize for using the term dyke. Now.
Dyke on radish.
What about you, Ed?
No, dodge, pass.
No.
You got it. That's what this question is.
Okay. North Star.
What?
That's a crazy good answer.
North Star.
He just went Alpha Flight.
North Star is a character from Alpha Flight, a Canadian super team. He's
Who is
French.
Gay.
He's gay. Yep. He's French.
His
powers are to fly very fast and sparkle. Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
His powers are to fly very fast. And when he touches his sister, they make an aurora borealis effect in the sky that blinds enemies or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And enemies.
All his powers are gay.
All his powers are super gay. And he seems really like gentle. You know, Google North Star. Any picture would be gay as fuck. Any picture you get would be gay as fuck.
Wow.
And he's feminine. I know that he would be down with being a bottom because I'm not going to have my first gay shit be getting pounded by some dude. That's retarded.
He's not gay married, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah, he got gay married.
Oh, wow.
To a black dude. They just went all in.
Yeah, he's the first comic book character to get gay married.
Wow.
Yeah, he married a black dude with dreads. They were just diversity.
Yeah, so you know he's down for the squirrel.
Good choice, Ed.
Great. I'm so glad I asked that question.
Any more questions?
I can't believe that went there. I'm blown away.
All right, well, then now we'll do my questions. Adam's questions for Clea and Ed. This one is a fun one. We've been talking about this topic a lot lately, but it's hot. It's in the news. I didn't really ask you this specifically in our previous episodes. Who do you want to be the next president?
I thought we did cover this.
Well, we discussed what you thought of different candidates, but I didn't really
Bernie
say, like,
Sanders.
Who are you going
I
to vote for?
I think I'm FDR. That's the final answer.
Zombie FDR. Yeah.
I'm going to go Teddy.
In wheelchair or not?
He was manly.
I'm going to go, D's Nuts.
No, so for real.
D's Nuts has enough poll numbers for me to say him.
So
I'll say President Tom Brady. And all of a sudden you'll realize all of America's ills will be cured.
Yeah.
Although I do fear that one day Tom Brady
except
will run.
Except that the Earth will suddenly. Lose, he's gonna run. Like,
he's gonna
10,
run as a Republican. And break my heart.
How do you underinflate a ballot box?
That's why it's perfect for it, man. You don't think Belichick's gonna help him win the Chicago? Like, you know,
dude. Yeah. As far as president, honestly. The only reason why I think I would vote for Bernie Sanders, there's two reasons. One, I have seen him on the periphery for a while. He's always the serious guy. When they cut to like Democrats doing stuff, one of them would be capitulating, one of them would be doing something else, and one of them's going to be a dickhead about it. And it's always him. I've gone back and watched tapes. It's always him. He's always being a dick. He's always going against
you
stuff.
Watch the tapes.
Bernie keeps it 100. Nobody keeps it 100 like Bernie keeps it 100.
We should have him on Larry Wilmore's show for keeping it 100.
Yeah, when they all flip-flop and talk about they're going to go to war or not raise taxes, he's like, no, fuck that. I want to raise taxes. We pay 24% tax, and that's like the lowest in the fucking developed world. You know what I'm saying? Like, to pretend that we're poor because we misuse taxes from our citizenry? No, we don't tax corporations. We literally let corporations not pay taxes for years and years in a row, hide their money in all these different places, ship jobs off. He's, like, totally not down with that. And obviously nobody would be down with that, but he's shown he's not down with that shit for a long time. And also, fuck a goddamn legacy-ass president. Just because this bitch was present when niggas was being president, and then she was in meetings when another nigga was president, doesn't fucking mean she gets to be the motherfucking president. I'm tired of these people who are just like...
Well, I mean, to the American public, though, I mean...
I hate that shit.
It shows somebody
sucks.
Who has experience in the White House.
Mountain Dew hangs out with Pepsi. He ain't as cool as Pepsi. Fuck that.
No, Mountain Dew is way cooler than Pepsi. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
And there are lots of times where Mountain Dew is too cool to be hanging out with Pepsi, like at KFC. At KFC, you're fucking wrong to not have Mountain Dew with your famous $5 bullet bowls, all right? I don't know what the fuck you're doing.
There's only so white trash that a KFC can get, and they draw the line at Mountain Dew, obviously. I don't know.
I just don't want to double down. I get that. I mean, I understand. There was they used to actually have a whistling hillbilly on the bottle. Like, I get it. Like, I get how white Mountain Dew is. There are certain things that white people do that they don't realize how white it is.
Here's the other Murray brother.
And by the way, David Johansen.
And David Johansen.
Yeah.
From the New York Dolls.
And his solo career. Hot.
Oh, my God. I hated him as the singer on SNL for years.
Just one last thing. Hillary Clinton reminds me of a show called Ink Masters that me and Clee watch. Mm-hmm. They start out with 16 artists, and they winnow them down to, like, a final four to do these tattoos and shit, mm-hmm. right? There's always, out of 16, there's always, like, three or four that fucking suck, mm-hmm. but they don't suck so bad that they go into the bottom, and they don't suck, and they're not so good that they go to the top and get knocked out by stronger artists. So they just chill out in the competition, and some of those last until the end. That's what she is. She's in the game. She's the fucking John Konkak of politics. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I thought she was a great Secretary of State, though.
Anyway,
I really thought that she's
just emails all, the
and she did a great job. I mean, you know,
John
Konkak
was a center on the Atlanta Hawks.
I'm also sick of this notion, though, that politicians can't make like a few like innocuous mistakes. I'm sorry, that email shit. That's a very in the grand scheme of things,
that's not going to stop her from being president.
Yeah,
it's a very innocuous mistake, and I feel like it's just a 24-hour news cycle.
I don't think she's more
cover
of a
cover-up.
No, that keeps a bullshit story like that alive.
I don't think she's any more of a criminal than any of those dudes.
Yeah.
Cover-up.
Benghazi!
And who cares?
Man. Well, just for time, that'll be the last Adam's question. We won't do audience questions. Mm-hmm. It's been a nice full episode. It's time for plugs, everybody. Clee, what have you plugs-wise?
Plugs-wise, let's see. Just my Twitter, at Clee the Pimp on Twitter.
This will be dropping a little bit into September.
Well, hopefully after your birthday and after you guys have fucked.
Our anniversary, not a birthday.
Anniversary, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll probably fuck before then. I'm pretty sure about that.
So,
and
then, the fucking.
Light a candle, everyone at home.
Yeah, you guys know where Clee and Ed live. Just kind of like put your ear to the wall.
If you know where we live, then try to find us a better place to live.
My plugs at Ed Greer Destroys on Twitter and Ed Greer Destroys on all social media. I mean, I'll just put Ed Greer Destroys on there, and then you'll find all my accounts. And I'm doing a new series of chicks with guns pictures.
Mm-hmm. I'm announcing that right now. Yeah, and I'm doing.
Wait, what are those? Are they chicks with guns?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's a series. It's a series called Looks Kill. And I just like drawing really, really hard metallic objects on soft like chicks. And I also like looks kill too. Yeah, and they also and it's also electric trying to show movie. Chicks with a little agency with their weapons. You know what I'm saying?
Agency?
Like, yeah, a little feminist type shit. They're not sexualized. They're cute and they're hot and the weapons are drawn well. But it's almost like
they're cute and they're hot, but they're not sexualized. I get what you're saying. No, it's just women with
Exactly.
beautiful hot chicks with guns. They're not sexualized at all.
But somehow it's not a bunch of mini cones with guns.
Okay.
Well, yeah, no, it's not Playboy. They're not like they don't have the guns. Mindy Cohn
played Natalie on Facts of Life.
They're not.
But
gun,
why isn't it that?
Because I'm making a statement. I'm an artist. I could do weird stuff. Anyway, so yeah, look out for that.
Weird.
Yeah. Well, shut up. And I'm doing Maximian is dropping in 2016. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. A few times Ed's plugs are longer than mine. All right, Eric, what about you?
The show up, go up every Sunday night, 11 to 1 at the world famous comic store. Follow us on all that show up, go up show. Follow us on Periscope. You can watch the show as it streams live on Periscope. Also, guys, check me out on my Sportsaholics podcast with John Schieser. It's Sportsaholics with an X. And also, I'm going to give a shout out to Verbal Violence, which is the Roast Battles podcast. There are just dropped episode 4. Give it a listen. And it is tremendous. The first 4 episodes are awesome. And you can follow me, Twitter, OThatMarino. And that's it.
Oh, and also, I'll be battling Faith Choice September 8th at the Roast Battle.
Battle.
Not sure if this will drop before or after that, but if it drops before that, try and check that out, guys. Now, I really want to plug the show in general, guys. We are reaching some milestones. We're about to hit 3,000 subscribers and 15,000 hits overall.
We are in your minds.
So, try to pass the show along to your friends, guys. Let's hit that 3,000 mark and that 15,000 mark. And
so we can get some sponsors in this bitch.
Right now I'm being brought to you by Mike's Harder Lemonade.
For me personally, I'm in an upcoming web series called Slave for You. Check that out. It's got a bunch of great people from Upright Citizens Brigade and me. And please check out at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater and off of Sunset.
Nerd.
The show called Fresh Fish Variety Hour. Fresh Fish Variety Hour. I co-host that. It's every second Friday of the month.
Yay!
Fresh fish.
See Clean Ed's segment in Eric's live show, The Belly Room in the Comedy Store.
Show up, go on.
Every Sunday, Hollywood, 11 o'clock. Music from our show, if you like it, you can go to soundcloud.com/Mephesto Presents. Email us at CleanEd, the Ed and Clee Show at gmail.com. Find and like us on Facebook by searching Clean Ed. And send us your questions there that you would like CleanEd to answer on the show. And stream the show online at CleanEd, the Ed and Clee Show.com. Download the podcast from iTunes and rate and review us on iTunes. And we record at Stag Street Studio.
Stag Street Studio.
Go to stagstreetstudio.com. And our engineer is at not Jimmy Fahey.
Because he's
Twitter.
Not Jimmy Fahey.
That's his Twitter. His name's Jimmy Fahey. He will give you more info about Stag Street and recording podcasts if you want to work with him. And my Twitter is at Adam C. Driggers. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Stag Street Studios.
Jimmy the engineer.